It is that time of year again. No, not Christmas, not Easter either, but graduate job hunting season. Many students have their eye on employment at the end of their degree. But with an ever-increasing demand for jobs, many organisations are finding it difficult to absorb graduates at the same rate, forcing students like Shannon Delamotte, James Pellucci and Stephanie DiGiorgio to step it up. Combining both practical work experience and a degree, graduates are going to great lengths to look more attractive to a future employer. But at what cost? Fair or unfair, in today's day and age, it's a part of the game.
It's a little hectic at the moment because I'm doing obviously 2 degrees, working part-time and also doing an online course as well. So it's hard to find time to balance everything, but so far I'm coping fine.
One of the programs I did was with PwC, and what that was a preview program for people that aren't within the relevant like penultimate year for internships or summer work. The other program's been at a funds management boutique, and I've been working in the legal and compliance team.
Well, a teacher approached me with an internship position, and this is at Ivanhoe Grammar School, and the position is in the marketing department. And as it turns out, I didn't know very much about marketing, but it was the fact that the skills that I was learning in my uni course, it was transferable.
I'm doing an unpaid internship at the Magistrates Court in February next year, and I'm hoping that will kind of narrow things down what I want to do.
I was actually very lucky to be paid for my internship position. It's not, you know, extravagant amount of money, but it's enough to be paid for, and I'm very grateful for that. I'd actually do the job without getting paid for it. That's how much I enjoy it, and I'm getting that much out of it without the money.
PwC was for 3 days, and the funds management boutique, there's no particular set time frame, but I'm going to keep that to a year. PwC was unpaid, and also the funds management boutique was unpaid as well.
It's really hard at the moment to get placements as it is. Even being a law student, it's already competitive enough. So I think if I can work around that, like get into online courses just to better up my skill set, and that might be another way of getting into an internship.
You're an intern, you want to prove yourself, so you try and get into the office before everyone, and you want to be one of the last to leave. So it's really, really tiring. But at the end of the day, you got to do what you're passionate about. And if you're not willing to work hard for your passions, then there's no point.
The most recent study conducted by Graduate Careers Australia in June 2012 surveyed 168,000 bachelor degree graduates from 2011 to find that 76.3% found full-time employment within 4 months outside university. However, despite the high absorption rate for degrees like medicine, 97.9%, mining engineering, 97.3%, and pharmacy, also at 97.3%, areas such as humanities and languages appear to become less attractive, with rates dipping to roughly 65%. Many of these graduates undertake further study to bolster their chances of employment or specialise in other areas. But due to highly competitive markets, some students are trampling over opposition during and after they graduate with an unusual hunger to work for nothing. Huh? Yes, for free.
I actually can say that I'd say only a handful of people in my course have an internship position, and I don't think any of them have been paid for it.
I'm doing an unpaid internship at the Magistrates Court. So it's Monday to Thursday about, I think, 9 to 4. So it's unpaid, and I think you get to watch in on the cases and type up any documents that need assistance with.
Sometimes I ask myself, is this all worth it, doing it unpaid? But the long-term benefit is going to help me. It will help when I go for internships, for paid work when I graduate, because I have it on my CV.
But as the hunt for the number of internships rise in a variety of industries, organisations are also becoming eagerly competitive for snapping up free labour, plastering advertisements on many of the leading job search sites. Zana, by the way, is the Executive Director of JobWatch, a free legal aid service based in Melbourne. She believes it is becoming an increasingly difficult environment for students trying to get their foot in the door of many lucrative industries.
Well, I suppose employers are able to do that, and it does make it hard for young interns and young workers. And all I'm saying is that why should we make it so hard for them? There should be a very clear legal position on where these young interns stand. So there is no need to have the dialogue and no need for that discussion to take place, a discussion that they'll be loath to have because they're desperate to get the experience and the foot in the door.
By the way, also notes that knowing what your rights are in many of these voluntary scenarios is important to avoiding exploitation.
Essentially, where you are clearly not a volunteer, and that can be very clearly spelled out, you're not there to volunteer, and you're not on vocational placement, and provided that an employment relationship has been established, meaning or it hasn't been excluded, and it hasn't been excluded in the way that I've indicated to you, then basically, when you work, you're entitled to be paid. It's fairly straightforward. So you're entitled to be paid for the hours that you work, provided, as I said, the exceptions don't exist, that you are a true volunteer, it's a vocational placement, and there is absolutely no prospect of an employment relationship having been created. So basically, all work experience can be valuable, and that's the question. Is it valuable, and who gets the value or the benefit of it? If it's one-sided, then you have to ask the question, if your training is insufficient and you're getting coffee and dry cleaning and you're not getting paid and you don't get a job at the end of it, who has derived the benefit? What I would argue, it's only one-sided and it's the employer.
Current workplace laws in Australia leave an air of uncertainty hanging over many industries. In the Fair Work Act 2009, the definition of an employee's role in comparison to a volunteer or intern becomes blurred when obligations required in the workplace, the commercial benefits to the organisation, and one of the most significant factors, time spent, cross over.
First and foremost, if you've been there for that long, you have to ask the question, is this really going to be worthwhile? Because how are you actually paying for your, and I take it some of these interns are not living at home, but how are you paying for your food and rent and basic living costs? But if that is acceptable, and I don't think it should be, that's my whole point. It's a culture that we're all basically, we're being complicit in this whole scenario where people are working for no money. In those circumstances, of course, your relationship with whoever is your supervisor or your mentor, etc., is critical. So being able to speak to them openly and honestly is very important. Now, if you haven't had the conversation for 6 months or 12 months or 18 months, then you really have to ask yourself about the nature of the relationship, because hopefully if you're satisfactory, they would have approached you and done the right thing by you.
The Fair Work Ombudsman are the body currently overseeing a new report on tighter legislation and regulatory control on free labour ventures involving work experience and internships. Due to this, the Ombudsman was unable to comment on the issue at this time. But it is this report that could mark the first step to tightening legislation and preventing exploitation in the workplace.
First and foremost, we need to sort of see what is the upshot of the inquiry, what has the inquiry found. Really, I think there needs to be some form of legislative reform to be able to really clearly and properly define relationships that are right here and now quite obscure and grey in their application, and therefore there is scope for employers to take advantage of young workers.
Universities around the country offer numerous opportunities to budding students looking for hands-on work during their studies by gaining much-needed industry experience. La Trobe University in Melbourne runs an internship program to some final year students looking for experience. And Jason Brown, Career Development Manager at the university, knows how alluring some of these opportunities can be.
Probably a couple of aspects. One is that because it is so competitive, having that extra experience really puts you ahead of those that don't have it. So that's probably the first thing that an employer would look at, is that you've done something above and beyond what's required in your course, and that's really useful. The second point, part to it is that a lot of students actually find it motivates them to keep going with their studies. So they start to see direct links between what they're studying in their degree to what they'll be using when they're out in the job. So that can make it really, really useful. It also helps you develop other skills as well. So then being able to go to an employer and say, you know, if you did a internship with the Age and you got to sit down and do some fact checking, then that's a skill that you've developed that perhaps you may not have had that opportunity in your degree. So there's some other things that you can add that not doing it won't give you.
Despite its benefits, Penny Warner, the manager of industry liaison at the University of Melbourne, believes that voluntary work experience, such as unpaid internships, can come at a price.
I guess anecdotally we've had students that say that they have found these opportunities and they have very much aware that they have been taken advantage of. We usually suggest to them that they go through the Fair Work Act and talk to the Fair Work Ombudsman, I think is the term, or our student union has a legal service here where they can follow that through. We also hear from students that they think an opportunity is going to be paid and then they find out it's not paid, and that's a very difficult circumstance for students. So, yeah, there are students that are taken advantage of. I can't think of specific examples, but we've also had some fake internship opportunities advertised. One was purporting to be from the United Nations and it looked really legitimate, and then the student was actually asked to pay money. And if you go to the United Nations website, it says there's actually a worldwide scam, and they say at no point do we ask you to pay money. And we've had two students that contacted us to say they were taken in by this scam where there was no opportunity and they had to pay their airfares, whole lot of costs. So really it was someone who's done a very sophisticated scam, and the student also sent me some other websites across the world where other universities had been alerted to this as well. So those things happen too, and I guess it's preying on students' desire to have work experience that's relevant to their course, and I think that's really, really difficult. Students very much are tuned in to the importance of having an internship. Our university doesn't have a lot of work experience in the curriculum, so students are very tuned into looking for that experience in industry. We have guidelines for students around what they should look for in an internship, and if it's not in the curriculum and it's in the commercial sector, they should be paid for an internship. So our university has taken a very clear understanding of the Fair Work Act and really says that students should not be put in a position where they're working in really commercial jobs, which should be for payment. So students can do an unpaid internship if it's part of the curriculum. And in our university, we have a subject called an arts internship subject. So they can find an internship, they get credit for it, and they do some work. They can also do unpaid work if it's in the not-for-profit sector, but if it's in the commercial world, really our university says the Fair Work Act is fairly clear under those circumstances that they should be paid. It is a dilemma because students really want that experience, so we won't advertise any positions which don't fit those guidelines on our website, but students will still come and say, look, I've been given this opportunity, and, you know, they're in a very difficult position because they know that it's competitive, and journalism students in media are often very keen to get that experience. So advice to them would be, you know, see if you can convert it to being paid, because then that does fit the Fair Work Act under our understanding. So I think students are keen for these sorts of opportunities, but I think we have to really take, in a sense, a hard line so that students are protected from that sort of situation. As I said, the other ways around that for them is to find it in the not-for-profit sector and find some opportunities there. And we have volunteers online which lists opportunities which are, if you like, legitimate in that area. And I think it is a tough call because students want those sorts of opportunities. I don't think most students want six, but if they've got one or two opportunities, they sort of feel that makes them more competitive, and I think that's a really challenging situation. And in an ideal world, the commercial sector would look at paying those opportunities because they're investing in students for the future. And the more of those paid opportunities that are available, it really gets around that situation. So industry really has to take some responsibility and offer some of those paid opportunities or have it in the curriculum.
In comparison, Donhera Walmsley, the president of the National Union of Students, believes that the current workplace arrangements for volunteers and interns are reasonable in Australia, but still need to be clearly defined.
I think it really depends. I think the problem with internships is that there's a lot of potential for exploitation, and we've seen quite a bit of media about that recently with students undertaking unpaid work on the basis that it'll help them progress in their career, but actually just sort of working for free for really long periods of time. So I think that's problematic. But I think that when universities run programs that integrate internships into their degrees where students are actually prepared beforehand, so do a unit or like a half credit point unit preparing them on what to expect, how to apply, all that kind of thing, and then there's a unit afterwards where students have the opportunity to reflect on what they've learned, so where the university kind of provides the infrastructure for students to actually learn from their experience, then I think it can be really good. And also in that case, universities also make sure that they're not partnering with dodgy people. They're partnering with organisations that are actually going to treat those students as people who are there to learn, not just people whose labour is there to be exploited. I think it's not as much of a problem in Australia as it is in other places. The places that I've read about where this issue is particularly bad is the United States, but their industrial relations laws are a lot less strong than those we have here. We generally have pretty good workplace protections for people. So I think there's a lot less of a conception that people will work for free. It's not an expectation in the Australian labour market in the same way that it might be in the US. And obviously it's concerning that that kind of attitude might be imported, but I don't think it's too much of a problem at the moment. I think the biggest issue with an internship is that if it goes on to be and for an undefined length of time. So an internship kind of implies that it's 3 months or it's 6 weeks or it's maybe 6 months or whatever. It's kind of a finite amount of time that you're going to be working at reduced conditions. Where we hit problems is when it's just an indefinite amount of time that people are working for less money or no money at all. So we just need to keep an eye on that and make sure that if we do see any trends emerging, that we address them immediately. So I guess the places that tend to have a lot of internships are quite often the media has quite a lot of internships. I know law does as well, but I think they generally tend to be quite well paid for the most part. So I think probably media and things like fashion as well is where there's a danger of that kind of attitude being imported from the United States, but I don't see it happening right now.
But is Australia really better off? Andrew Stewart disagrees entirely. He is one of two law professors from the University of Adelaide preparing the Ombudsman's upcoming report. He told the Good Weekend magazine in October this year that Australia is worse off, labelling current workplace laws as an ocean of uncertainty. It begs the question for students and graduates, are these unpaid ventures a waste of time? Well, it seems one study has bucked the trend. The Australian Association of Graduate Employers conducted a survey in 2011. It shows that 32% of employers filled most of their positions from vocational schemes such as internships and work experience. But despite the low statistic, many organisations insist on being financially incapable of integrating students from internships to paid employment. Insurance liabilities also pose some of the greatest problems in the interning world. Organisations that are not tied to university insurance protections are hesitant in helping students, and those looking to gather experience can find it difficult to cover private insurance costs.
Donhera Walmsley believes that if students were given greater government support, financial, emotional, and mental strain could be avoided.
Look, it's definitely difficult. I think the government needs to have better income support available for students to make sure that they have the capacity to undertake their studies without being under too much financial pressure. I also think that individual universities can do more helping students while they're out on internships or on placements by providing bursaries and scholarships and things like that, particularly for students who are travelling to places that are far away from their home or place of work for those placements. But I think it obviously makes it a lot more difficult if you're trying to do an internship as well as undertaking paid work as well as undertaking your study.
I think my advice would be that if you can, you're better off dropping down to below a full load of study rather than absolutely killing yourself to complete the degree in 3 or 4 years or whatever it is. You're better off if you are going to undertake internships to just drop down to 3 subjects or 2 subjects and take a little bit longer to complete your degree, but actually get good marks and not give yourself a mental breakdown, basically.
So despite the current climate, attempting to find the balance for budding students and graduates can be challenging. Yes, there is the allure of a glamorous CV, beefed up experience and knowledge, but just how much is too much? Jason Brown says all you can do is prepare, be organised, and use networking as the key tool to uncovering opportunities during studies and after graduation. He also believes finding a balance between studies and experience will enhance your prospects with employers.
It's always the challenge, and I think no matter what stage of life you're in, you're always juggling lots of different things. I think that the main thing would be try not to take on too many things at once. You don't always need to do an internship during semester, so if you can arrange it so that you can do that during a semester break or over the summer holidays or something like that, then that's the best option to do that, because then you're only juggling your part-time work and your internship, not study as well. So try to do that. I guess with internships, hopefully for most people there's a bit of flexibility there in terms of timing. So if you've got a lot of assessment tasks coming up, you might be able to make some arrangements to, you know, have a break for a couple of weeks and come back once things settle down a bit. And the other, you know, really practical advice is just to have a really good diary and make sure you've got everything in there and you've put in a plan for, you know, if you know you've got a big task coming up in a couple of weeks, that you've blocked out some time to work on that each week so that you're not trying to do it all at the last minute. Prepare is probably the big thing. So make sure you've got your resume up to date. Understand what goes into a really good resume. The difference between your resume for applying for a casual job and a professional is quite vast. So really getting that ready, do some research, find out who the major employers are in your industry, start developing your network. So get out there and meet people, talk to your friends, people you know, your lecturers, you know, find out who's out there. If you can really start doing things like that, then that's going to put you in a good position to obtain employment. And it's never too early to start. A lot of people, and I include myself in this, when I was a student, didn't think you could actually apply for a graduate job until you'd finish your degree. You can actually do that beforehand, and particularly if you're wanting to go into the public service or into a large corporate, you know, you'll often need to apply for those positions at the start of your third year. So look out for those opportunities and just talk to lots of people and start thinking about it now. Don't leave it to the end.
And students Delamotte, Pellucci and DiGiorgio are leading the charge. All are keen to take advantage of the opportunities presented to them, even if it requires sacrifice.
I think any experience is beneficial, but it is also important to know to draw the line between paid and unpaid. I think take advantage of any opportunity that you do get, even if it is unpaid, but again, just kind of be wary of what's going on in the business.
When you apply for internships, for a lot of places, they don't know you personally, so you need to make sure you've ticked off as many boxes as you have and try and reduce your weaknesses. So the recipe for success, I would say, is an average above 70 for your marks, and also on top of that you need relevant work experience. You need to have been networking in the meantime, have your LinkedIn profile. You got to know about the area that you want to go in. You need to know about recent deals or recent changes in the law of the area that you want to go into. Ways that you can show you're actually passionate about doing that job, and also that you've had life experience, like your part-time paid job or even exchange. That's definitely a thing that helps as well, because when a firm takes you on, it's a risk. So what you need to do is give them a reason why they should hire you, because you've had life experience and work experience and you've had the passion.
Well, if you find that the internship that you're working in is stimulating, if you're getting something out of it that you wouldn't have been getting in your course, it's practical, it's hands-on, you're getting the vibe, the environment, the corporate culture. Whether money means something to you or not, the experience is invaluable, and that's what you need at the end of the day to get a job in the end.
So what you need to do is, yeah, forget the comfort zone. You got to know that applying for something that you may feel uncomfortable about the worst thing that will happen is that you don't get accepted. But if you don't put it in, there's no chance that you will get accepted. Another tip I would give, I like to do, is when you get told what who your recruiter would be, I like to research the recruiter so you can look at their LinkedIn profile. You may find info about them on the internet and you can get a feel for how this person thinks, etc. And then in your interview, you can sort of align yourself to them.
From my own experience, I've really gotten so much out of it. I mean, even though most internships aren't paid, it demonstrates to your employer that you're passionate about the industry that you're getting into. I mean, you've gone out of your way to put your foot in the door, and that speaks volumes.
So whether paid or unpaid, it seems internships are here to stay. But until future legislation and laws dictate more clearly how they are run, many students and graduates will continue to be kept in the dark, stopping at nothing to put much-needed meat on skinny CVs.